down Asheville.
Hello, folks. This is FS Ride Along. I'm Nick Knack. And this is a series of episodes of the Nick Knack podcast dedicated to recording my virtual travels and views in the world of flight simulation and increasingly covering other simulation genres as well, train sim, simulation strategy games, that sort of thing. But I'm still trying to stick with flight sim as well. It's really about balance, and that's kind of going to be the theme of today's episode, which is going to be FS Ride Along Season 7, Episode 31, and I'm calling it Balancing the Four Forces of Flight, because as with any hobby, this is all about balance. So let's just start with a little bit of content from my main feed. I recently entered into a partnership, and when you have a partner, you have to prioritize your life and think about life in a different way. And obviously, flight sim is a big part of my life, big part of my life. You can hear that I'm doing it right now, and we've got the Cirrus, and we're making our way from Chico to Boeing Field in Seattle, for obvious reasons, if you've been following the other episodes. And I've also recently been flying the DA-62 for X-Plane, and I've been enjoying that quite a bit. Though I have to say, there is something about flying the Cirrus SR-22, normally aspirated version, as opposed to flying the DA-62, which has a FedEx and a bunch of other nice stuff. There's something nice about, I do like the combined power lever in the Cirrus that combines the normal propeller lever with a normal throttle lever in the unadjustable pitch propeller airplane. And I, you know, there are times when I feel lazy and I prefer the DA-62, not only because it's a twin, but also because it's got the FedEx and I don't have to worry about setting mixture and all that sort of stuff. But there is something to be said for setting the mixture and for not flying a turbo. And for, you know, going currently about 125 knots indicated at 11,000 feet. And trying to monitor the fuel tanks, because in the DA-62 you don't have to monitor, because each engine has its own tank. In addition to the aux tanks. Still learning the DA-62. When I have the time available, I will do a more full report on the DA-62 for X-Plane. It is a great aircraft, but I found myself, within the last two legs, returning to the Cirrus. I've also found myself straying a little away from the jets. Whether that's permanent or temporary, I don't know. I've just been in a GA mood lately, and it's strange that I get into GA moods when the weather is crummy. Always, always, always. It just seems to be the case that that's when I get into my GA moods. But there's something to be said about flying kind of older school style, relatively older school style, with the Cirrus now being an older school airplane, because it doesn't have a FedEx. It just has a mechanical link in the combined power lever, and you still have to do your mixture manually. And again, reality simulations, reflected reality simulations rather, did a great video on the Torxsim SR-22. I'll link it in the show notes if this is an airplane that you're interested in. Absolutely worth the $50, whether you go with the Laminar G1000 panel powered simulation, which Torxsim has actually modified quite heavily to make better, or the older style displays that allows you to integrate with the Reality XP GTN. I actually haven't gotten the Reality XP GTN version yet. I would like to, though, because there are certainly many limits to the Laminar system, as much as I like it and as much as it's better than anything the competitor has to offer, so I will say that. But I'm definitely enjoying the DA-62. It had sat in my hangar empty for quite a while. I hadn't been using it yet, and then on my one of my first virtual dates with my partner, I thought, oh, what's more romantic since we're both gamers than doing a I can show you the world thing? And unfortunately, I hadn't flown a turbo before, and the engines kind of caught on fire, and we had a little bit of an incident. But fortunately for me, although my pride was severely wounded, my partner found it funny. So anyway, I digress. Hopefully you'll hear more about the DA62 in a future episode. I'm going to try and produce two again this month. The last month I didn't manage to squeeze the second half is right along out. I do apologize for that. I'm doing the best I can to, again, manage those four forces of flight. Because as fun as flight simulation is, or any sort of simulation game, you do have to kind of balance it. Because flight simulation, especially, is really expensive. The Sims, if you're into that, is really expensive. All the expansion packs, in the case of flight simulation, no matter what platform you use, you know, there's things like the Navigraph Chart Cloud and FMS database update subscriptions. That costs a ton of money. All the things, the bare bones essentials you need to do your hobby do tend to run on the expensive side. So you have to consider that when you're in any sort of relationship. And, you know, I don't know whether the average flight simmer is in their teens and destined to be a pilot one day, or if the average flight simmer is older and retired and just does it in their free time and with the, you know, with the grace and permission of their partner. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm definitely trying to balance it out. I'm trying to say, you know, request, say, hey, can we do our own hobbies and interests for 4 or 5 hours during a specified time, and then come back and be together and spend time after that. So it's a balancing thing, and it's probably easier to be a super simulation geek if you're single, but then again, you can't kiss an airplane, so there's that. So I also wanted to mention that I've seen the first initial news on X-Plane. And it looks like the Laminar is working on the lighting system, the frost system, and a number of other systems. And I think the visual fidelity will definitely improve. One of the things that's always thrown me off about X-Plane is the lighting. It just looks different than P3D / Microsoft Flight Simulator. And that's always kind of bothered me. So hopefully that'll improve a little bit with the new photometric lighting engine that Laminar is working on. So we'll see how that goes. That's, of course, especially relevant at night. I'm currently night flying, so it would be nice if the night flying were more realistic. And I was reading the Threshold article, thresholdx.net, if you don't know about that website. And the shots do look better, and the author of the Threshold article, being David Lopez Vega, thank you, David, for writing that and for giving me something to talk about here, noted that oftentimes in real life, and this is very true, the airports themselves are darker than the surrounding environment, and that makes it night flying really interesting and really challenging. Or so I've heard. I've never actually done night flying as a student pilot or anything else. And it would be nice to see that come to the simulator. So hopefully with the photometric lighting engine that Laminar is working on, we'll get a more realistic looking planet lighting wise, both in day and in night. Also the frost system looks pretty cool. Currently just modeled as programmer art, but it would be nice to visually, especially, you know, right now I'm playing in rain and mid-fall on the U.S. West Coast on the way to Seattle. Probably crossed into Oregon already. So, you know, ice is a factor, frost is a factor, all that is a factor. And, you know, X-Plane does simulate it. It will screw up the aerodynamics of the airplane, that's for sure. But if you don't have the visual indication in the simulator, that's kind of like, well, nice job, Lemmer, for implementing the system, but also, isn't that kind of only doing half the job? So hopefully we'll see that in X-Plane 12. I'm really, really excited for X-Plane 12. I'm also excited by the shots of the puddles on the ground. I'm hoping that there will be some customization options as to what you want to turn on and off to be kind of cognizant of the hardware shortage, which I foresee is continuing for quite a ways into the future. That's just my personal estimate of that. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm thinking the hardware shortage is going to be with us for quite some time, and X-Plane 12, of course, much like Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, is going to be much more intensive on the computer hardware than previous iterations of P3D and FSX and X-Plane. So we're gonna see more demanding hardware. I have a Ryzen 3700 and a 1660 Ti. The 1660 Ti, that being a 6 GB card, I believe, is really a limiting factor. The processor can do things much faster than the video card can. But I did see a question recently asking if it made sense to do multiple GPUs for a flight simulator. And my feeling is it wouldn't make much of a difference because, you know, we'll see what happens with X-Plane 12, obviously. But even with Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020, the focus is so much on the processor still. More heavily on the processor than the GPU. We're getting better GPU utilization out of the newer platforms these days. But still, mostly flight simulators are processor-heavy activities. So you want to give as much of your budget as you can to your processor, and then, you know, give as much as you can that's left over to the GPU. Obviously, a 1660 Ti isn't good enough, but it's the best I can do, and fortunately, I got it before the hardware shortage, so I paid, you know, what was fair for it at the time, about $300, and, you know, now, of course, you can't get a 1660 for maybe less than $500 or $600. Hardware shortage is really, really rough on flight simulation and all other areas of gaming as well. I'm very encouraged by what Laminar is doing. I have had a very hard time trying to stay in the loop with what's going on in the Microsoft Flight Simulator end of things. If you're interested in the Microsoft Flight Simulator end of things, I will say at this point, this is probably no longer your podcast. I just, you know, when the PMDG 737 comes out, I will check it out. I will look at it, mostly because I got the NGU in time to get the promotional deal that PMDG offered. So I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to reporting on that and letting you know about that. For the immediate future, though, I'm pretty much sticking with X-Plane and maybe throwing in some simulation game design content here and there, and then throwing in some looks at some other games. I want to take a look at The Sims. I want to take a look at The Sim City. I want to take a look at Civilization. Civilization is particularly interesting because Sid Meier, or Meier, I think it's Meier, actually started his career working on flight simulation. So I need to finish his biography, but once I finish his autobiography, that, I will have some things to report on that. So I've got plans in the works. I want to remind you that I do have a Patreon, and I should have done that at the top of the show. There's no link to it on episodealong.com yet, but there is a link to it on my main website. The main podcast, that's knickknackpod.net, knackpod.net. Please consider joining the Patreon and help supporting this work. It does take quite a while to produce these episodes, And it can be quite the challenge to try and produce a good quality episode and try and... I think the bigger challenge is doing it consistently. There's a number of great Flight Sim podcasts out there besides just myself. And it can be kind of frustrating on the listener end when producers aren't able to produce content as consistently as one might desire. But the flip side of that is podcasting takes a ton of work. Ton of work. And if you enjoy a podcast, yes, there it's like radio, you get it for free no matter what you do. But if you enjoy a podcast, you know, please, a dollar, 50 cents, 25 cents even, small amount of money would just be nice to have to counter some of the costs that are involved in doing this. So I thank you so much for listening. Please check out Simply Magpie. This podcast is supported by Simply Magpie, and I appreciate their help with the website, fsreadalong.com. If you want to reach out to me, please send me an email, nicnacpod@knickknackpod.net. The links are all on fsreadalong.com. I've got a plane whose autopilot has kicked off because things are going funky, probably an icing situation because I was busy podcasting and not flying the plane. So I'm going to rectify that situation and come back later. The music is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica. Find them at atticaattica.bandcamp.com. Make sure you check out the link in the show notes. Attica Attica has great music, and I thank Attica Attica for providing their permission to use the song. So till the next time, stay safe. Happy landings. Bye.